Amen. Thank God for another worship experience, and thank God for another first Sunday as we now are partaking of our Lord's Supper. We're reading the scriptures from the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, and this is the paraphrased version of the Bible. For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table, and I pass it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Let us pray. Master, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for grace. We thank you, O God, for forgiveness. As we now look back at the day when you gave your life on the cross, you gave your hands, you gave your side, you gave your head, you gave yourself, you gave your back, you gave your feet, you gave your very being, because you so loved the world that you gave your only you was God's only son for as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we say thank you. Purge us and have mercy upon us, Lord, for we know you know we have not been, we are not perfect beings. So we ask for mercy. We thank you, and we claim every victory that comes through communion. Every healing, we thank you for spiritual, physical, and all the healing that it may bring to us. And we praise you, for we know that it was your body that was given for our sins. And we thank you right now. Forgive us and have mercy upon us as we respect and recognize and remember this sacrificial, you being our sacrificial lamb. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So at this time we are going to partake of our communion. And he took the bread. And the Bible says, after he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, do it in remembrance of me." We say hallelujah to the Lamb and thank God for Jesus, for what he has done for us. And we praise the Lord for all his many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at the eighth psalm. And we are looking at verse 4. And it reads, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And for a subject, we want to use getting to know God. Amen. Getting to know God. This is a very important thing, and I want to share it as the Lord leads, because getting to know God is something that we all should do. We all should strive for getting to know God. Some things you got to do, but there are other things that you get to do. And we do things that we shouldn't. And there are other times that we do things that we should. But sometimes when you, because we, I'll say it this way, don't got to do what you get to do, oftentimes we end up not doing what we should. Something that is unique and something that is a privilege. It is those unique privileges that we have in life. It is those special opportunities that we have in life. It is that of getting to know God. Amen. And when I think about a privilege, I think about that which is it is a special right that is granted to a person or a group. Amen. It is something special. It is a privilege, is a special right that is granted to a person or a group. The aim of our sermon is for us to We have opportunities that are afforded to us, and when I think about the aim of the sermon, I want us to prioritize our spiritual opportunities. Amen. Amen. For us to prioritize our spiritual opportunities. Amen. You see, freedom affords us the opportunity to do good or bad, but we're the ones who must make the right choice. We're the ones who are to make right choices. When I think about that, I think about matriculation. Amen. I think about college. It's not something that you got to do, but it is something that you get to do. And no matter how you look at it, you will certainly be better off with an education than you would be without an education. I think about marriage. I think about the fact that marriage is not something that you got to do, but it is something that you get to do. You could say, I'd rather run the streets, run around and not be settled down. But it's not good. The flesh is not something that should be allowed to run loose, because the flesh can backfire on you, and you're better off, amen, settling down. I think about having a master. Jesus, in particular, he is one who wants to control us. And, amen, having Jesus is not something that we got to do. Having Jesus in our life is not something that we got to do, but it is something that we get to do. Amen. We need someone who loves us, that to control us. Amen. And speaking of him being the master, he is also the Messiah. And as we look at this psalm, it is a messianic psalm. Many subjects are included in this psalm, but basically it one of the primary things I would say is that it is a nature psalm. It is a psalm. It is a psalm that talks about nature, and is messianic when you talk about it being relevant to the wine press. In Isaiah 63:3, it is. But here we find David, and under the starry skies, and we find him saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." He's talking about the majesty of God, the fact that God is he's sovereign, and he has authority, and he is someone who has dignity. And David writes this psalm, and he references the majesty of God. And we see he says that God is so majestic until he has says that God has set his glory above the heavens. Amen. One translation says that your praises and your songs go beyond the skies, go beyond the heavens, all the way to the glory. He looks at him, and he talks about how powerful God is, and he talks about in verse 2 the mouth of babes. He moves to the mouths of babes, and he says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou has a perfected praise. Basically is what he's saying is out of the mouths of children, a reference to Matthew 21:15, when the leading priests and the scribes didn't like the fact that Jesus had healed a crippled man, and as the children praised him, Jesus' response to these haters, I guess I could say, was out of the mouths of babes, even the children are saying Hosanna. Even their children are representing and defending who I am, my avengers. the children, God is using the mouths of the children to represent what I'm doing, to validate who I am. And it speaks to the fact that God can use the weak things to make strong statements. Amen. And then he moves to midnight in verse 3, where he says, when I consider the heavens, which is the work of thy finger. Amen. Amen. We know that in Exodus 31:18, that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. It's anthropomorphic language that God relates to us, that Arthur relates to us, although God didn't have a finger, but he's able to relate to us on human terms. He says, when I consider the heavens that are written with your finger, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, or that thou hast set in place. Amen. Amen. David looking up, and that's why this is called a night psalm, because he doesn't mention the sun like he does in Psalm 19 and 4, which is another, the next nature psalm. All he mentions are the author mentions the stars and the moon, and as he lay under the starry skies, he looks up and he says, when I consider these things, your vast universe, amen, when I consider who you are and how much power you have, and amen, so much so that the earth alone is nothing but like literally like a grain of sand on a seashore. Amen. When you go out in space and look back at the earth, you can, all you see is like a small spot, a speck, amen, in space. And he say, when I think about how powerful you are, you got all of the billions of galaxies and this vast system, and when I think about you, when I consider the heavens, the work of thine hands, the visible and the invisible, amen, amen. When I consider what you have made, I come to my text where he says that when I reach that conclusion, what I find out is, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? So we see David, and we see the fact that he looks at himself and he finds out that he's inadequate, and he's unworthy. So we see the unworthiness that he sees himself. Amen. When he looked at the power of God, and he looked at himself, he found himself unworthy in the eyesight of God. David says, "I am unworthy." And Psalm 19 and 1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. It declares the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. Amen. Amen. This, you can learn much of what we learn about God is revealed in his works. As we look at his world, it is reflection of his works, and that reflects the invisible one who is Almighty God. According to Romans 1:20, we know the invisible God by the very things that he does. And so the psalmist looks up and he looks at himself, and he concludes that God is powerful. He's, and even in this vast universe, we find out in Psalms 147 and 4 that God tells the number of the stars. And the Bible says that he knows each one by name. He named the stars, and this is a reflection of the power of Almighty God. Amen. And he named it. And so David thinks about God, and he thinks about how powerful he is. And not only when you start thinking about how mighty God is, but he looks at God and he sees God, God's holiness, and he compares that to his humanity. He looks at God's strength and compares that to man's weakness, and he looks at God's power and reflects on God, man's puniness. And he said, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out why God is so mindful of man. Man is frail. Man is fallen. Man is not someone that has honored God in a way for God to keep remembering him, knowing that he is a fallen creature. He finds out that man is someone that should not be certainly not in the mind or concern of a holy God, because man has made such a mess of God's earth. Man has made a mess of things. Why would God speak of him and be concerned about him? Why is God showing him compassion instead of criticizing him? Why is God concerned about man? David is baffled. He can't figure this out when he think about man, because man is not someone who is God, someone who God is proud of. Well, when I think about it, another thing we need to understand about man is that man has made a mess of things, and when I think about that, Job tried to figure it out, and Job 7:17, he says, what is man? Amen. What is man that you have your heart set on him? Why is it that you have your heart set on man? You need to let him go. And so David recognizes his own frailties and faults, and like Job, he concurs that I'm not worthy of attention. Well, we find out that Job continues to talk. As you look at Job 25:6, you begin to find out that Job says, man is nothing but a worm. He's a worm. Amen. He says he's a worm twice. He's a worm. The first worm is different from the second worm. The first worm means that he's a maggot, but that's still in the worm family. He's a worm. What is the writer trying to say? He's saying that man born of a woman, according to Job 25:6, is a worm. Amen. What does that mean? The writer is letting us know that a worm is something that comes from corruption and goes to corruption. Amen. A worm is a corrupt creature. And amen. We sing about ourselves being worms. Amen. We sing about it. We says, at last and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Amen. 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 We must recognize what David recognizes, that man is unworthy. Amen. And so Isaiah picks up on this as you look at it. And in Isaiah 64:6, we find out that Isaiah says, amen, that we are as an unclean thing. We are as an unclean thing. He says that we are unclean. We are unclean. As a matter of fact, he said we are all as unclean things. And he goes on to say that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. All of our righteousness are like a faded leaf. All of our righteousness is like iniquity, amen, driven or carried in the wind. Amen. Man is, even on his best behavior, when we, doing our best deeds, we're still filthy rags. We're no better than filthy rags in the eyesight of God, even when we're on our best behavior. Amen. Man is a fallen creature, and he's corrupt on the inside, and he's fading as a leaf. When you find these leaves that fall from the trees as the sun disappears and the leaves no longer are able to maintain their the fact that they're green because there's a chemical breakdown in the leaves due to the lack of sunlight and producing fall foliage. And so what we find is that the leaves turn brown and turn colors, but it eventually it drops off the limb and it fades away. Amen. God says man is like that. God is saying that is the way that man is, and so man is unworthy of God's attention. But then that's why he says, "What is man?" But then let's look at, he says that thou art mindful of him. When we think about that, we need to think about the uniqueness of man. We need to think about the uniqueness of man. Man, what makes man so unique? Amen. Well, first thing we know is that, number one, he's a man. Amen. Amen. On the first day, God made light, and on the second day, he made the sky, the space, or the firmaments, or some say vapor. Amen. On the third day, he made the vegetation. Amen. And the grass. And on the fourth day, he made the sun, moon, and stars. And amen. And on the fifth day, he made the sea creatures and the sky creatures. And on the sixth day, amen, he made animal life and human life. He made the earth to bring forth cattle and creeping things. And but when it was all over, he said that man was made. And he said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man." Amen. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And I want him to rule. I want him to have domination over the fish and the fowl and the cattle and the creeping things, and let them have dominion. Speaking of him and the woman, mankind. Man is made in the image of Almighty God. And what do we find God doing to make man so special is, the Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils, amen, and man became a living soul, amen. You see, the truth is that man possessed God's breath, and we know that they're different from the plants. The plants have bodies, but they don't have souls. Animals have bodies and souls, but they don't have a spirit. But according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, man is spirit, soul, and body. We are Trinity just like God. We are spirit, soul, and body. And so therefore, we are possessors then of God's breath. Amen. And so we must understand that makes us different from the animal kingdom, and so therefore we are good, and we are special, and we are set aside, Amen. Lest I hold you too long. The truth is that God wants man to know, simply because of the fact that he is who he is. Amen. The animal kingdom don't have the breath of God. Amen. The plants don't have the breath of God. God spoke them into existence. Even the space, sky, and the Mars and the galaxies, God did not breathe his life into them. He just created them. He spoke them into existence. But when it came to us, God breathed into our nostrils, and man became a living soul. Amen. And that means that man gets to know God. And he's the only one who does. The plants doesn't. The animals don't. The animals don't. The truth is that the plants are unconscious, and they have nothing to say. The animals, we're not told to witness to animals, preach to animals, baptize to animals, invite animals to come to Christ. Animals are not sinners. Animals are part of God's creation. He's not going to heaven or hell. The truth is that animals don't fit and fall into the category that men and women fall into, boys and girls. The truth is that we possess the and the question becomes, what's it like with you getting to know him? You say, well, everybody may not want to know him. Well, I want you to know today, my brothers and sisters, that you get to know him. You are the only one who does. Only man get to know God. Only humans get to know God. God, and isn't that wonderful? The most powerful being in existence, God, allows us to get to know him. The most important being in existence wants to know us. The one who made the moon and the stars, he wants to have a personal relationship only with people, not with animals, with people. And it's amazing how we see people who jump at opportunities to know someone else, but they don't want to know God. What a privilege that is, to have the special right to be granted an opportunity to be privileged enough that God wants to be in a relationship with us. Only man. Nobody else get this distinct privilege. Only people. But yet we see people who they get excited and they go bonkers about things in the world when it comes to, amen, when I think about our unwillingness, amen, man's unwillingness, they go bonkers, they go ballistic over getting things and money and materialism. Amen. When they say that you're the next contestant, come on down. There's excitement and jubilance in the atmosphere. Amen. But when you tell somebody about coming to Christ, there's not much always a response. Amen. We go amazingly excited over money. But when it comes down to knowing God, amen, we drag our feet, we wag our heads. Do you want to come to Christ? Well, but yet we go crazy over materialism. We go crazy over worldliness. We go crazy over things. But God is saying to us, there is an unwillingness for us to come to Christ. And we must understand that God loves us. Amen. But we cannot be carried away with the things of the world. And why? Because we are in a relationship. We get excited about things like that, but there's an unwillingness by many, by too many, to get to know Jesus. Amen. Yes, we're the only ones. We're the only ones. You see, what you got to understand about man is that man, no one else will God be in a relationship with. He's not going to be in a relationship with the squirrels. He's not going to be in a relationship with the monkeys. He's not going to be in a relationship with the whales. He's not going to be in a relationship with the flies. Only man, people, human beings. And the thing we must understand is what the Lord was telling me, and I was just, he says that, look, think about this. Think about communication. Amen. Communication. God being made in the image of God, we're the only ones that God will communicate with. Matter of fact, he's the only one he can communicate with. Everything, nothing else. Amen. When you start thinking about man, amen. He doesn't communicate with the pig or the possum. He does not communicate. Amen. You say, well, don't animals talk to people? Don't parrots talk to people? Well, parrots are programmed. Amen. That's why they're in jail. But there's no reciprocity. They are taught what to say, and they listen at what to say. They are built to do just that. But you won't hear them saying amen on their own. You're not going to see any crossover between when it comes to communication with man and animals or trees. You can go talk to a tree. It's not going to respond. Let me get on out of here. The truth is that we must understand only man is the only one, who's allowed to communicate with God. Amen. Everyone else have to stay on their own level. Amen. The monkeys talk to the monkeys. Amen. The dog talks to the dogs. And elephants talk to the elephants. And everyone else got to stay on their own level. Amen. Amen. The plants are not going to say anything. Amen. To the dog. You walk right by it, and plants are unconscious. They're not going to say unconscious life. They're not going to say anything. They're at peace. That's why maybe they're called peace lilies. I don't know. But they have nothing to say. And then when you start looking at the plants and the pigs and amen. But only when you come to man, isn't that amazing? What is man? Man is one who has possession God. He possesses God's spirit. That's why we're able. And because of that, man is able to communicate, and the only one who is able to communicate on a level above his own. And when God said that to me, I said, wow, I never thought about that, Lord. He said, well, you got to say it just like I told you. Amen. Everyone else communicate on their level, but man is someone who can communicate in the next level. We are able to communicate with somebody more powerful than us, while everyone else has to stay on their level. They have to keep it just like it is. Amen. They're not able. But God invites man into his office and says, come talk to me. It's amazing. People, amen, we get to talk to God. You know how it is when you think about circles. People run in circles. They want to be with the best and the brightest, and they talk to people that know more than them, and they try to get the smartest people around them, surround them with the brains, and learn, because I can learn something. I can benefit. Amen. Settle down a little bit here. But man is able to communicate on a higher level than his own. Isn't that wonderful to know that we can talk to the creator of the world, God himself, wants a personal relationship only with man. He says, if you call unto me, I will answer you and show you mighty things that you don't know about. Get this. He invites us to pray to him. Amen. He didn't just say, oh, only somebody y'all can talk to are people. No, you are special to me. You are unique and special. And I don't want to talk to nobody down there but man. I put man over everything else. He's over the fish, the fowl, the cattle, and the creeping things. And he's the rule over the sky. He's the rule over everything. And they all had that before they fell. But we know that Jesus is the one that's going to, which this typifies, is really going to be the one to bring us completely full circle. But we need to understand that God is the one. Almighty God allows us to talk to him. He does not want to talk to anybody but man. Man and woman. Not interested in what nobody else has to say. They all programmed to do a certain thing, go a certain way, act a certain way. But man can change his environment. You're not going to find a tiger praying, crossing his paws. You're not going to find him saying, bless you. You're not going to find him coming into church, walking down the aisle. But man is somebody who can change. God says, man can pray to me and he can be sick and I can heal him. He can talk to me about his problems and I'll fix them. Man is the only one who has that unique communication between me and Almighty God, the creator of the universe. What is man that make you so crazy about him? Well, he's the one that I... you see, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has put eternity in our hearts. Amen. Amen. It says worlds, but it means eternity. When you look at the Hebrew word of it, olam, I believe it is. But he tells us, Paul made a statement. He says, oh, that I may know him in first, amen. He says, oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 3:10. He says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. We know we have Jesus because the Bible says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not his. Romans 8:9, Romans 8:11 says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Yes, not everybody wants to have this relationship with God. It's sad that people will walk away from such an important relationship. It's sad that they don't value it. It's sad that they're not interested. They'd rather go talk to other men than to talk and to have access with Almighty God. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I close. It's not that we got to serve God. We get to serve God. It's not that we got to go to church. It's that we get to go to church. Man is unworthy. He is frail. He deserves hell. But man gets to pray. Man gets to sing for the Lord. Man gets to give to the Lord. Man gets to know God. Man gets to go to heaven. And get this, we are going in his house. In my Father's house are many mansions. When it's all over, man is the only one that God says, come on home with me. When it's all over, I love you so much. I know you messed up. I know you fail. I know you're no good. I know you're crooked. I know you've cheated. I know you've lied. I know you've stolen. I know you've done it all. I know you're embarrassed and you embarrassed me. I know you embarrassed yourself. But I want you to know that just come on up one day. I love you so much. I'm going to let you have a relationship with me. And then one day I'm going to let you come on home with me. I don't care about your sins. I've taken my son and let him take care of your sins. Don't let this golden opportunity get by. And Father, we thank you for salvation. We look forward in spite of our fallen state. Have mercy. You said that we could come to you with all of our problems. You said you will answer, call unto me and I will answer you and show you mighty things that you know not. I know you're embarrassed. I know you got baggage. I know you're not feel unworthy. But if you want to take advantage, you ain't got to do it, but you get to do it. And sometimes we don't do what we ought to do. Oh God, help us to do and take advantage of this golden opportunity of getting to know you. If we want to be changed, we know that we can just confess our sins. That's what you're waiting on, a genuine confession. If we genuinely confess, then we know that you will come in and change us. And we know that dead sockets now will have power. We know the switches that won't flip on, now the lights will come on, because Jesus came in and he turned on the light. Yes, let there be light. Amen. At first there was darkness, but Jesus, I was walking in darkness. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. Thank you for salvation. Help me, oh God, to make it public. Make a genuine public announcement that, yes, I just got saved. I opened up my heart and said, Lord, change my heart. And he changed me. Find a local church. Or we'll point you to a local church. And we'll get you baptized. And you can go on. And you can walk above on a level that no other person, nobody else in the whole wide world can get to know God but humans. Thank you, Jesus, for this revelation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us now receive the benediction. Amen. May the Lord bless thee. May the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.